Stephen Justin here. Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella with Justin Saliba, broadcasting from Southern California and Dallas-Fort Worth. Today, Justin, talk about the deals we're doing on Finance Friday. I'm sure you're as busy as we are.
Dude, it's been insane. It's insane.
Before we take a question, just give us the raw numbers, like how many came in this week and how many are you doing?
Let me count them real quick. 2, 5, 7, 8, 12 we greenlit. Wow. We had 47 properties come in this week, and I have two more sitting on the desk I haven't looked at yet.
So that's like 25%, 20%.
Yeah, this week we had quite a few come in that I didn't go with just because of access and what they were. It was all the same asset type. The high price was a little bit high, but man, this is the week of waterfront properties. I'm telling you, I've got some great waterfront properties that I'm like stoked about. So this week has all been waterfront that looks like we've been going with. So I'm happy about that. But let's get our question going, and we'll talk about that in the meat of the show.
Perfect. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. I'm going to ask the question, and Justin's probably going to answer it. Jake asks, if you have duplicate records and the best practice is to delete one and mail the other, all things being equal, are people likely to want to sell their smaller parcels or their larger ones? Since smaller parcels tend to be higher priced per acre, would it be smarter to offer the purchase a bigger one? For example, I have a person who has a 31-acre property and a 137-acre property. Which one would you offer on? The way I would do this would be to offer the smaller sized parcel, sort that column of dupes from the high to low, and remove the duplications, which would leave me with the smallest. Or if I want the largest, would I simply sort in the other direction? What do you think, Justin?
I normally go and sort largest to smallest when I'm scrubbing through. So the price that they're going to get is an actual bigger value amount when they see that on our letter.
A dollar amount.
Yeah, the higher dollar amount, not per acre. We think in a per acre, but if I'm somebody opening the letter, I'm thinking, oh, this guy's offering me $15,000 versus $7,000. So that conversation is a little bit different. Then they go, well, I got this other one too. Well, great. Then I'll negotiate down on that price and try to get it for the same price per acre because it's a smaller per acre amount, but it's a higher dollar value amount.
Right. That's exactly what I do. I mean, you always want, it's hard to convey this to somebody who's brand new, but the higher dollar amount, when they open that letter and there's a higher dollar amount, there's a more likely chance that they're going to respond to it the way that you want, or let's just say respond to it.
Yeah.
That's what you want. You want to avoid the response.
No, it's perfect. And the reason that is to me, if $7,000 may not change somebody's life, $15,000 may be that life-changing event that they need that says, oh, wow, this actually does something for us. And now we're willing to talk. And now they've got the idea of selling in their head because of that life-changing thing, and they can go through a little bit farther and sell you more property.
I couldn't agree more. That's exactly what our experience has been.
Perfect.
This is the meat of the show. So, Justin, tell us, I mean, You teased us a little in the beginning.
Waterfront property. We've got two back in Oklahoma. It's on one of the cleanest rivers there. And the guy that we're funding it for, he called me. He's like, man, I think I kind of want to keep these for myself. I was like, I want to keep them for myself, but they're too far away. But it's an amazing, it's two properties or 15 acres. It's on the cleanest river in Oklahoma, and it's on the high side too of the bank. So 30 feet out of flood zone, all treed, private access with a gate that keeps everybody out. So it's like, it's spot on. It's one of those ones that I told him he's going to be thinking about for the next 20 years in this business. But it's, you know, it's, I think we're in it probably around 15, 16. Cool thing about it was the guy countered back pretty high, and we came in. I told him, hey, this is draw the line in the sand, get it there. And he did. And he's like, man, the guy came down on his price for us. So it's a cool thing to see that happen when they have that tough conversation. It's kind of one of the things that we've been talking about is having those tough conversations with people and don't go chasing the pipe dream.
Yeah.
So another two properties we were negotiating before Christmas on there in Kentucky. So there's a state park up there, and this two properties sit across from the state park, and they're only accessible by boat, but they have cabins on them. So they're cabin on both pieces. One's 8, one's 7 acres, and 16 total acres. So 7 and some change and 8 and some change. But it's a, like, I can't find comps to sell it. So that's what I'm doing right now, is going through the comps, everything I can find on that area. But it's so beautiful there. Like, they have the Google Earth pictures from the state park, and you're looking at our property and you're like, man, this is amazing. So we've got it under contract too today. But it's got some fun to it.
For how much?
That one, $16,000.
Both of them?
Yeah, for both, with cabins.
Oh, man. Like, at $8,000 cash, then you start to think about, should we just keep this?
Yeah, yeah. And this one, you have two different properties that both have. One has a trailer house, one has a cabin. You could keep one and sell the other and be money ahead. But there's a little bit of hair on this one, so we'll watch if it goes to closing. Daughter is selling for dad, who's in prison. There's a POA, a power of attorney in place. So we'll see what closing gets done. And that's where title comes in, because Kentucky is the hardest state to close in. If you ever decide to shop, Kentucky's the hardest one to close in because of lack of room. You throw in your team, your title companies, your attorneys, you get them in place, and that's how you do those deals. You find these diamonds in the rough in these areas like that.
Wow.
So it's going to be a neat thing. Had a couple properties come in Arizona, Colorado, that had riverfront lack of access, but just beautiful on the little Colorado River in Navajo County. Beautiful piece of property, no access, and it's tough to see 80 acres, and he had it priced right. I mean, the guy brought it in, and he's actually not a Land Academy member. He's a new land guy that's been following Land Academy, kind of still in the free tips and tricks of the trade, and able to do that and kind of work from there.
Wow.
So
did you pass on that 80 acres on the Colorado River?
It just came in. I told him that I didn't like that the access, because I'm an access guy. You know Arizona better than I do. Yeah. So it'd be something I'd want to send. I can send it over to you so you can take a look at it.
I mean, that's why I love working with you, because we just sent you a Texas deal that I know is really valuable, but it's in your backyard. And I just know that you're going to get the deal done and get it done properly. So actually, if you're going to pass on that deal, send it my way and all.
Okay.
Because we've gotten around access in Arizona several times.
Yeah, and it looks like it had a little dirt trail to it. It's not far off the road, but it's 80 acres, and it just sits right on this Colorado River. I mean, the little Colorado River. It's a great piece, but again, it's just the access has kept me from wanting it. And I can't remember what he's in on it. I think it's 11 grand. I could be wrong, but So
here's the thing. There's some version of water rights if it's truly deeds right up to the river.
Okay.
I don't know if my information is probably at least 2 years old.
Okay.
But there could be a water play, so.
Okay, perfect. We'll take a look at it.
That's why I love working with you, because,
got it. So other than that, a couple pieces in Arkansas came back that we had put some stuff out, so we bought some there. Arizona had two horse properties come back, and I hate that. I don't want to say this, because I know you made your money in desert. I hate desert property. And I think this week, out of the 50 properties I've looked at this week, 35 of them have been desert. And I'm like, come on, guys, use me to get you out of the desert. And I don't want to sound arrogant in that manner, because desert has made you plenty of money and a lot of people plenty of money. And we've actually sold out of all our properties this week that we had personally for Lamuel. But
you sold out of everything?
I've got the house. One of the houses finished on the market. It's supposed to have a contract. They sent us an offer price. We're just waiting on the paperwork to sign. It didn't do as well as we wanted to, but it moves up and opens up capital. And then I've got one property. It's like 0.33 acres on a golf course that I've got left. Everything else is sold. Contracts on. I'm waiting for funds to come in.
I wish I could say that.
Yeah.
It just moved below. Our list moved below 150.
Wow. Wow. So yeah. Moving through them. But that's not to say we're 30 properties into Plum right now. A little over 30 properties, I think. I haven't counted up since we greenlit these other ones. But, I mean, awesome. So Plum side is staying plenty busy for us. But Lamuel side is just sold out. And we've got, I think, another 15 properties inbounding that just we haven't got deeds in yet. We haven't listed. So we're pipeline's full. It's just different type of product class that we're working through, different legs of the business.
So you're sold out for the next 30 minutes is how it is.
Well, because we hired the transaction coordinator to help with our Plum. If anybody wants to use her, she's ready to go, and she takes a percentage of the deal. So we have her listing some products that we bought from a state, and we have her doing that. So she's running through that. So she's been killing it with her research, due diligence, going through all that. She's listing some bigger properties up in Washington as well. So just been awesome to see.
Estate properties are tough. There's a lot of paperwork involved.
Yep. Yep.
But so that keeps people away.
It does. And I'll say that comps on some of these properties were $4,000 to $5,000, and we got them for sub 50. So, I mean, those are deals that you like.
Yep.
So,
We got in. We just opened funding on January 1st in the first 9 or 10 days. Let's say we've got, in fact, Jill did a show about it yesterday.
Yeah.
I think 20 properties in. And after the show, I green lighted about 8 of them, I'm going to say.
So okay.
More than I thought as a percentage, but great info lot, couple of great info lots in Fresno, mm-hmm. California, one and nice. A great wooded property in Washington State.
Nice.
A home run in Ohio.
Okay.
It's between, the property's literally between a Dairy Queen and a McDonald's. So
yeah,
there's some light flooding issues that we're going to have to get around. But again, that's why it keeps it everybody out. So
yeah, that's sometimes you put in a little bit of work on the front side, yep. help you on the back end.
So as always, some of those properties I'm going to present them to you so we can do them together.
All right, perfect.
But
yeah,
we couple, like the Fresno stuff that's in our backyard. We'll just burn it through and
yeah,
yeah, settled, you know.
Yeah, no, those are nice. So the properties that kind of make me nervous, and it's and again, I like that idea that it's different from me and you because you know Arizona extremely well. California is y'all's backyard. I get a lot of stuff from California that's half infill, rural infill, the 5 acre, like a Fresno 5 acre. I've gotten a couple of those before, and those make me nervous because you know one side of the hill it's $1 million home, another side of the hill you're looking at trailer parks, and I don't know the California regulations well enough to like be like, oh yeah, spot on. I'm conservative on those on my estimates, and that's the good thing for y'all is that you're not you can know exactly, dial it in what you think it's worth and move through them pretty quickly. So that's awesome.
That's a great point. Like, you know, what's the process that you go through to green light or to red light a deal?
So when a deal comes in, I take the, I don't, if they have extra information, I have some guys that build me these great presentations and I just realistically, I need the APN, the county, the state, what the contract price is. And if there's anything like death on a deed or anything like that, we're going to need to know about so we can consider that in the closing. But I'll bring that in. I'll find that exact same property on like the different land sites and Realtor and Zillow that have map view and then look at sold comps and the comps all around that area. Exactly. So not county, but I mean, it's micro look at it and exactly. We see what's sold. Yeah. And the funny thing is you'll see some of those properties come back and they've been listed for 2 or 3 years and you're like, hey, shit, this one has been listed. You know, why hadn't it sold? And they're like, the person bringing you the deal will say, oh, I think it's going to bring $200,000. It's listed for $205. I'm like, okay, well, why are we going to be able to sell it for more than they're able to sell it? Because they would take a $205,000 deal if they're offering, we're offering 50 and they're jumping all over it. So, you know, those are type of things that we look at. And that's usually what drives it is do we see enough price? Does it have access is a big thing.
Yeah.
And is there ability for an end user? We had a couple deals coming in, California this week that one deal, it was a great lot. Price was right. But the lot was, it was like this down the middle of it. It was like a peak of a mountain all the way through it. There was for the first 100 feet on the property was a 37-foot elevation change. And jeez. So a one to three, and that's what you use in engineering to hold up like railroad tracks. You know, 2 to 1 is a good slope. 3 to 1 is what they consider, you know, per ideal in the engineering world. And I was like, it's a 3 to 1 slope. We could build something up there, but it's got a very narrow spot. So yeah. It's going to need a lot of dirt work. But it was wasn't a bad deal. It just didn't fit because it's got some time it's going to need to be taken to get that one sold.
Yeah, I agree with you. We get properties in with some stuff attached and sometimes not. Most of the time not. But I go through the exact, I don't look at the stuff attached. I read the notes, but I go through the exact same due diligence process. And it takes me less than 60 seconds to know whether I'm going to do the deal.
Yeah. I check parcel fact first, you know, parcel fact's huge. We check parcel fact to make sure it has the access right off the bat. And if there's no road to it, then it's like, okay, hey, it doesn't have the physical access that I like, but it may be legal access. So I'll still look through it to see if it comps where it needs to be. And then tell the person, hey, it has a great price. The access doesn't meet what we like, but I think you could still make money on it. It's just not going to be something we can partner on. And that's, you know, some people are more comfortable with it. My threshold's not there on that stuff. So
we're doing a deal through one of our members in Coconino County where mm-hmm. I was convinced the property didn't have any access, and the guy that brought it to us says that's what I thought too, but mm-hmm. there's pipeline maintenance road that goes there and here's why, and he actually provided real access, and I'm like, done. I mean,
yeah,
this is actually what the buyer needs to know too.
Yeah. So, no, that's great. We bought a property in Oklahoma like that had access to a pump on a river that ran through the side of the property. So they had a beautifully maintained road.
Yeah.
Perfect gate. And it was like a 5 acre property, but they had a road road all the way down the east side of the property. I think we picked it up for, I don't know, it was like $2,500 and then ended up selling it for $10,000. And the people were happy. They're like, I got a brand new road all the way across my property and then getting any piece of it. And it's maintained by somebody else. So it was a great piece. Yeah. It's a great attribute.
Sick margin.
Yeah. Yeah. So, busy week again. I'm glad to see that y'all taking it on and jumping in. I'm glad that we kind of helped lead that way and say, hey, you know, this is a niche that's not filled. And, you know, as we've talked about several times through coming out and visiting with y'all in LA, it's like, hey, what is that barrier of entry for us as a new land investor? And it's the knowledge, which, well, hell, y'all got that taken care of. It's the money. Well, now we've got that taken care of. And now it's just a matter of putting the mail in a box and let's all blow up. And that's the cool thing about all this is being able to scale that up. So
I wanted to ask you, how much do you get involved, if at all, after you fund a deal, the deal's done, you and your partner own it, mm-hmm. and it's on its way to the sale process? How much you're involved?
It depends on the person. So I ask for a marketing plan. I know one of the guys mentioned on Jill's show the marketing plan, and I do ask them for their marketing plan. They'll let me know every site they send, and I have them send me those links, and then I verify those links. And if they have something like, I may have a guy that doesn't have Lands Dashboard and I have 3 or 4 spots left on mine, I'll say, hey, if you don't have it, don't spend the $260 right now. Just send it to me and I'll list it. And then everything I get in, I just forward it to them. That way we can get it that be everywhere mentality. You know, yeah. Luke does real good with his co-op. So I'm on his co-op and I'll throw some of the properties on there to help some of those guys out. So it's that be everywhere mentality. We talked about that on our marketing plans for our show on the Casual Friday podcast, but we talk about that. And it helps them kind of get there. Some guys have it all figured out. You just sign the paper and say, hey, we've closed and they're gone and they've got a buyer's list and they're running through it. They just need your money. And then there's other guys that are still kind of new and they're looking for a little bit of guidance. And that's that partnership, you know, Plum provides that with them. That's what we say. Hey, we're going to partner with you. We're going to help you through this. And that's kind of what we try to do. For the most part, everybody's done pretty good. We just sold our oldest property, which was bought beginning of October. It was a Plum property, $9,500, I think, where we're in, sold for $22,000.
Excellent.
And guy wanted to buy it on terms, and we offer to buy out the terms deals for equity piece. So, like, if the equity is, so their piece of that one would have been $6,000 or $7,000. We offered to buy it out for 60%, and the guy spoke Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. The guy didn't want to use our automated payment system, so we let him buy us out for our 60%. So we took 60% of that margin, got our cash back out, and we put it back in 3 more deals the next day.
That's
so
great.
Yeah. So that's that. We have that ability there for them, so they can offer that terms. So, but we're different than a bank though, because we're just trying to feed our kids as well, you know? So
you're way different than a bank.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. I have to tell you, we don't, the deals that we fund, we're not involved in.
Yep.
We're at this moment, because we're so pressed for time. Mm-hmm. We just don't have, the time or the resources or quite honestly, the interest to deal. We're dealing with members in Land Academy that have done a lot of transactions and that have a proven record. So,
yeah.
And this last deal you mentioned, what venue did you sell it in?
That one, it sold, I think it was on Zillow. Either Zillow or it might have been a flat MLS, because all the guys I have list on a flat MLS or with a realtor. And I'm okay if they want to use a realtor. We just want the property sold. And we want I think you talked about it in one of your podcasts last week, velocity of money. And me and you've had that conversation. If we can turn that money, put it back into a deal, we're just going to keep turning it and you're going to compound into a bigger amount than, you know, that, hey, just hold on to it for that extra $1,000. Well, I can get into another deal, flip it quicker and keep moving. And so that's and the exit strategies. And I think that's 2020 for Land Academy. I'm giving you 2020 right now is the exit strategies. How do we look at the different exit strategies to grow to more of a commercial niche, you know, whether that's subdividing or things like that. So Land Academy 3.0, I think is what we're right.
I so like it.
We worked through there, but,
Land Academy 3.0 exit,
the exit, you know what? I think that's our next step. You know, we've talked about how to give them the knowledge. We've talked about the money. Now, what does it look like on that next step for us? And where does it go
from there?
So I'm always thinking for you.
I don't see this slowing down at all. Do you?
No, I'd say, I think that once some people have some good. Like, we have a couple guys that we've funded and sold 2 and 3 properties with them, and they can't get me properties fast enough. And they had other investors that they've worked with, and they're like, hey, they didn't answer back in the first 20 minutes. Will you take this property? Awesome. And so, you know, you team that with, you know, the time that takes us to turn around. We're turning around a property in about 12 hours. Sometimes a little bit more, a lot of times less. It just depends on where I'm at in the house, because I don't have to go to the office. I'm officing out of the house right now. So, we turn it pretty quickly, and that's a good thing.
That's your primary focus too, right?
Yes and no. The houses that we have flipping here is kind of primary right now, but Plum is slowly taking over to be a little bit more. But we do have our land business we're still trying to run as well. So the houses will go. That we've got getting Beth on board was our focus for the first part of this month. So she's rocking and rolling now. And then getting everybody going through Plum and seeing those happen. So like I said, this week we had 7 either get contracts on or sell cash this week alone. You know, so that's when you see that turn that quick. So buyers are back out. I sold 4 on Facebook this week that had been on there for 3 months. And it was just crazy to think. They're like, hey, I'd like to go out and look at the property. I'm like, okay, cool. I've got 2 other people saying they're going. Okay, hey, how do I pay you? And they just, you know, go to our website, click the payment, or you can wire us the money, or you can send a cashier's check. Okay, cool. I'll send the cashier's check right now.
So Facebook Marketplace?
Yeah. Just on the Facebook Marketplace. Yeah. Under a personal pro. And I think it has to do with it doesn't attach to your business when it's on there and you list it personally. Uh-huh. They see who you are. They'll click on your thing and they'll say, okay, hey, this guy actually is active person on here. Uh-huh. And it's not somebody that has one picture from 2018 and they started their Facebook page in 2018. You see 11 years of experience on Facebook. You see a guy with his family. It's a little bit more trusting than, you know, just a business account sometimes. So we do it both ways.
Man, there's just no replacement for posting it everywhere.
You're exactly right.
No replacement for marketing, you know? And yep. I learned that way late in life. I was one of these people who was like, you know, if it's a great piece of property and it's priced perfectly, they'll find us. That's just
No, they want it force fed to them. They want it sitting in their lap, and then they have
looking pretty too. You
know? Yep. No, you're exactly right. That's one of the things that's why I stay a little bit more involved with the pictures, is because I've seen some great pictures come back from our properties that we funded, and I use them for content. I mean, it's awesome when you see a picture like, it looks like a Hallmark movie. And I have a video up on like that. We have a guy that put a video together and he made a promotional video, and I was like, Jesus Christ, I want this for like my personal business. And hey, can you guy edit like a county into or a town? Like, I want a city skyline and then into this. And he's like, I'll talk to him. But I mean, again, it's the marketing and spending that little bit extra money. And that's that difference of buying $500 properties or buying a $10,000 that's worth $30,000 property. You can spend $300 on a video at that point. You know, if you spend $50,000 on a $150,000 property, you'd be asinine not to get somebody that's a professional involved to make that drone video for you.
That's what I think too.
Yeah. That's so awesome. It's great to see.
Well, you've done it again. Spend another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time where we discuss another interesting episode and answer questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It's free. As always, you are not alone in your real estate ambition. What's next, Justin? Like, what's your next week look like?
Next week looks more the same as this week. Hopefully more waterfront property. And we have a couple properties we need to – I'm looking over at my deed stack to see. I got one that needs notarized, a couple checks come in, and some disbursements on some stuff. But just more the same. I need to – hoping to have this house finished up, that contract signed and everything closed, so we open up some more capital. And it all turns back into it. I mean, it opens up $200,000 more in capital to go back into all this. So
everybody I know has a house sitting out there, us included. We have a house sitting out. We're going to make $120,000 on this house. And we've all just decided, and it's been for sale for like 3 weeks, which is unheard of for us. We're always like first three days it sells. But we decided to retail this house during the holiday season. Mm-hmm. And we're one of those people like you. We have a house sitting there, and it's like, it's starting to like, I'm starting to think about it. But yeah, don't really worry about it.
Yeah, we listed through it. You know? We listed Thanksgiving and had 6 showings between till after Christmas. The first weekend after the first, the last week, weekend before last. Trying to think what today is comparatively to us. We had 10 showings in 2 days. And I was like, where have these people been? We dropped the prize, 20 grand, you know? And I'm like, ah, where are they at? And then offers, like, everybody's like, oh yeah, we just got to call this. We can check it on this. We'll get an offer over tonight. Here's what we're going to offer. Are you okay with that? We want to be ahead of any other counter offers that are out there. It's just, it's crazy to see how quick it's going.
We had a full price, all cash offer on it. And they looked into the, and they found out, because this is in a HOA community, mm-hmm. that there's an additional HOA monthly fee because this has grass, you know, it's in Arizona.
So they have to mow it.
And so they said, yeah, that's, we don't want it. And I'm like, that killed the whole deal.
I that's, I'll give you that back at closing. I'll pay for the year. First year's on us, guys.
We said all that. Yeah. I just think they're like, nah, we don't, they think they found another house or something.
Okay.
So I don't care.
Yeah. We had a house with Trevor. He called, he's like, hey, I got a house back on an infill lot, Mailer. Can you go be boots on the ground for me in DFW? So we walked it. We made an offer. We were $1,000 off on the offer. People come back to us. And he calls me and he goes, dude, I don't know what the heck just happened. They dropped the price 35 grand. I was like, okay. Yes. I was like, okay. He's like, is your buyer still good? I was like, yeah, let's make some money. So he's like, I'm going hunting. And I was like, just send me the name. I'll take care of it. So that's the cool thing about the networking with Land Academy is that, you know, we all can work together and help each other make, you know, decent money and work to see everybody become successful. Yeah. And that's the cool thing about this community.
Wherever you're listening or watching, please write us there. Get your deals funded at plumbinvestors.com.
Investment.
I'll talk to you soon, bud.
All right, bud. Bye.
Bye.